Rockets fell last night in overtime, but this was a sensational performance again from James Harden. 46 minutes, 57 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Is this the best, is this the most impressive we have seen from James Harden in his NBA career?
I'll be honest, for an individual game on a back-to-back in the midst of the regular season during the most meaningless month of the regular season, which is March and into early April, that was the most terrifying and dominant performance that I can remember from James Harden from this perspective. Can you ever remember where James Harden looked so clearly to be the best player on the court at the end of a game like that? 28 points, fourth quarter in overtime, and that specific stretch where he hits two threes. They're not conventional threes. One of them is a little bit further back, another one off balance, and then he gets a steal and score. He looked like he was a man among boys, and Harden usually accumulates those numbers. You see a lot of the shots that he takes, and you say, okay, well, that's why he ended up with 40, 50 points at the end of a given night, and maybe we're getting so blasé to what Harden does every single night.
But I almost feel like this. It feels almost like an insult to ask whether that was his best performance ever with the Rockets or most impressive.
I mean, just this season.
So many of them. Oh, this season.
This season.
And again, like in a year where he's had so many.
Second night of a back-to-back, 57 points, and he was the best player on the court by far down the stretch in a game where the Rockets were down 19 going in the beginning of the fourth.
And that the steals in particular, you know, because obviously. That's one of the things people choose to ignore with James Harden when they talk, when they want to fixate on the worst parts of his defense. They ignore the steals, which is okay because sometimes his steals are almost like the lazy way out. Like that wasn't the case last night. There's times where it looks like he's like, all right, it's a lot easier to go for a steal and actually stay with this dude. But last night that wasn't the case. Okay, then I'll say then fine, that was great last night. So what does it mean that they weren't actually able to pull out the victory? Not a whole lot, in my opinion. Like, I felt like the fact that they fought back to where they were into overtime, and that they were in position to win that game, but for really, it wasn't a bad call. It was just bad luck on the timing. Like, if you want to fixate on the fact that Capella was called for that foul with 0.1 seconds, just think about how easily time could have expired 0.1 seconds earlier, and it doesn't even become an issue. You know, if that rebound comes down a little bit later, then you don't have it. You don't get down to that situation. It was a coin toss of a game at the end.
Here's where I'm at on James Harden overall. Last season to me was his best all around season. Offense, defense, that was the best team that he played on. I mean, last year's team, I know the Rockets have won two championships, but I mean, last year's team might have actually been better than the second championship team. They just happened to face the Golden State Warriors and Chris Paul got hurt. This season right here, and I know there's a lot of focus on, can you win a championship? Can this team get things together to make a real run coming up in the month of the playoffs? I get that. But sometimes you have to take time to appreciate what is happening right now. And what is happening right now is this is one of the legendary offensive seasons ever in the history of the NBA. You are talking about Wilt, MJ, and James Harden. Like, that's what this season is.
Right.
He's averaging 36 points per game this season, which is seventh in the history of the NBA. It's a bunch of Wilt seasons of like 50, 44, the one MJ season when he averaged 37 back in 86, and James Harden. That's what it is. That's the level we're talking. This is as historic as, you know, what J.J. Watt was doing back in 2012, 13, 14, 15.
And like whatever old narratives you want about Harden and what he does or doesn't do in the playoffs and his effort on defense, I think there's a lot of evidence this year, aside from some of those narratives just being garbage or at least just exaggerated, some of what they've done versus the best teams in the league this year is what encourages me more than anything. I think it's fair to say that like Harden's defense has improved over the years, and one of his biggest problems is that they're the lapses, just where sometimes he all of a sudden just loses engagement or there's going to be a night or a stretch where he's not playing good defense. But versus the good teams this year, he's been dialed in. And it's been his most complete games have come versus the best teams. And I think since the All-Star break, the evidence of just them and their performance against the good teams kind of reflects that. So as you enter the playoffs, it just comes down to more of like, all right, how is this team better than last year's team, or at least equal to last year's team, especially now with Daniel House? And can Chris Paul stay healthy? And I think the answer to the first one is yes. I think this team can be as good as last year's team, maybe in some respects better than last year's team when they hit their stride in the playoffs. And then it just all comes down to, okay, is Chris Paul can he stay healthy? Then this is why I want to face the Warriors in earlier instead of in the championships. I want Chris Paul to be as fresh as possible.
You think the Rockets can be better this year than last year?
I think Daniel House just changes the dynamic of what they can be. And
I would love to feel that way. I don't.
Let's look about, are you thinking about the Rockets in the playoffs last year? Let's remember what Bamute was in the playoffs. Let's remember.
Nothing.
Yeah. Some of the guys that these guys have replaced were, you could talk about what they are as total basketball players, but some of the individual poor performances in the playoffs, and Bamute, I'll give him the excuse of his shoulder.
Yes.
Was not nearly as good as the guys that are going to be out there now.
But if you're looking at last year's team, just in the regular season, obviously they, set the record for wins, 67. And in the playoffs, you're talking about a team that put the clamps on Golden freaking State in the Western Conference Finals until Chris Paul got hurt. The Warriors, in a couple of those games, were not even scoring 100. This team this year has played better on defense recently, but it's not been to that level.
It's not the same defensive level, and I guess that's what... Okay, last year they finished, 8th or 9th in defense?
Yeah.
This year, since the All-Star break, and since they look like they actually are dialed in and know what they're doing defensively, they've been a top 10 defense. And then just the question becomes, all right, is that for real? Is that for real? Can the rebounding be... I don't worry about the defense as much as the rebounding.
It's worse than the NBA rebounding-wise.
Right. That's the one that I don't know if you can just overcome that.
And that kind of goes hand-in-hand with the defense.
It does go hand-in-hand with the defense, but it's almost like that. There are still elements. All these other elements of the defense have gotten better, except for the rebounding, and that's what I don't know about.
I trust Ariza more than I trust the players that are going to be replacing Ariza in the playoffs. Even if there were some issues with Ariza's defense in last year's playoffs, I just think he is a smart defender. And the kind of guy who you can rely on for 40 minutes at least on one end of the
yes.
court. Maybe not on the offensive end of the court because he had his issues in the Western Conference Finals too. But yeah, I have a hard time feeling that they'll be better because I feel like the defense is worse. I don't know how worse. That's the real question that we're going to find out. Clint Capella, I don't know if we can get some steroids in his ass or something to bulk him up. I would like to see him be a little less pushed around, which we've seen of late against DeMarcus Cousins and last night against Jonas Valanciunas. Guys who are bigger than him have had their way underneath recently, and I wonder if teams think to themselves, you know what, let's slow things down and let's attack Capella if they have a player like that. There aren't that many players like that in the NBA. They have that going for them at least.
What's the old rule of thumb in the NBA, that a big man is what he's going to be by the time he's 24 years old? I think that's usually the kind of the measuring stick. And he's 24 years old. He'll be 25 by the time the playoffs are in full bloom. So is this what Capella is? Because over the last 3 years, he's matured physically. He's gotten to be more of like a man. He's got more of a man shape to him than he did 3 years ago. And he has improved in a lot of some of the more physical aspects of the game. But is he going to be a guy who always is potentially pushed around and shoved around by the more physical players?
I think
that's what I would worry about that.
Not in every game and not all the time, but I think it's still going to be a weakness in his game.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a weakness.
He's never going to be a physically dominating player.
It's kind of like, I'm very optimistic about Deshaun Watson, and I think Deshaun will continue to get better, but I think Deshaun will probably throw some idiotic interceptions probably for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Just because I think he's that kind of gunslinger style, and I think that's so innate that it's hard to get that out of you. And
right, I think Brett Favre-ish.
Yeah, and now Clint, it's a little bit different. It's not like the way he plays the game. It's more just the way that he's built, that at times these behemoths will take advantage of him.
He's better suited for the modern NBA. He's better suited for being able to slide out and cover somebody who is more agile than him.
I am a total fraud. Mike, Seth, and Paul... on a Thursday.
We know this, but
I am a total fraud.
Yeah, I know what you're going to be a fraud about is like one of Harden's various miraculous performances.
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
I, because of peer pressure, have filled out a bracket.
Oh, yeah. You came
for the college basketball
ago,
tournament.
Acting like it was the worst thing on earth you could do to fill out a bracket. Now you've done one.
But I blame the peer pressure because I got a text from a very important person here, Erin. And she texted, hey, do you want to be part of the office pool?
Why didn't we get a text?
I don't know, but I thought when someone texts you to be part of a bracket, what are you going to say? Am I going to be this hard? I would be like, no, actually, and I believe what
no,
I said on the air.
No, she pleaded, because I ran into her in the hall, and she asked me to. She, pleaded.
Well, yeah. What the hell?
I just ran into her in the hall. She didn't think of
just
it.
Just now.
I was walking by her. Oh, just now? The thing's due by 10.
Oh, and I filled it out. I thought you meant you ran to her just now.
No, I ran into her yesterday, but it wasn't like she was thinking of me specifically. And I can't.
Are they not catering enough to Paul?
I left out. What the hell?
Why didn't she text you?
This is bogus.
She probably figures she's heard about how you act on teams, and she wanted you to be part of. She was going to be part of your team, she was afraid that you might yell at her.
Well, to recap for the audience,
you've got a history of yelling at your teammates.
Be better.
I have made the arguments that you should not fill out a bracket for the tournament because it makes it more fun to watch the games. Now, for the record, I will abide by my rule. I filled out this bracket, but I am going to lock it away. I'm not going to check it during the tournament. I'm just going to watch the games, and I'm not going to focus on any of the picks I made on CBSSports.com last night.
Okay.
I will not do that. But I was peer pressured into filling out a bracket.
I still have to fill mine out.
I actually paid her in advance. I'm like, hey, I got $10 in my pocket. Here you go. I'm going to be one of those collector guys.
When do I have to have it done by? 11 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
The first game's at 10?
I don't know.
I didn't get invited to your bracket, so screw your bracket.
Well, this is the work bracket.
Well, whatever. I didn't get invited. I'm not a part of it. I'm not a part of the station, apparently. You know, I understand it. I feel it in my bones. I feel the unwant.
Are we blowing through our break?
No,
for this?
Real quick promotion.
I'm sure that's not what's going on here.
The games start at 11:15, and we carry the games for the college basketball tournament on CBS Sports Radio 650. And you can hear the games on CBS Sports Radio 650 presented by Twin Peaks. Coming up next,